Okay, Erev Tov Rabotai. So just to wrap up the last Hashkafa session for the Zman Esther, Be'ezat Hashem, hopefully by next week, I want to focus a little bit more on the Shiurei Halacha. I do want to get in next week, since we have Parashat Tzitzit, I do want to speak about some Hilchot Tzitzit and some interesting things about Tchelet Bizman Hazeh. So hopefully we'll visit that. Always an interesting sugiya. So I want to open the floor, and anybody wants, you can jump in. Bechavod. Anybody have anything to ask? Yeah, bechavod.
Okay. So I guess I'll ask my question first.
Yeah.
There's some certain person that's online that made a controversial statement about a few years ago how how to take the Torah in terms of like its literalness and its and in some of its prolific messages, mm-hmm. like for example, say how some parts are supposed to be taken literally kipshuto and some parts are not. Say for example, the issue with Reuven and moving the bet and okay. sleeping with them. Like, how do we know when to make this distinction?
Oh, that's easy. Right. Ask Chazal.
Right. Yeah. How did Chazal? How did Chazal get to?
Beruach kocham. Beruach kocham.
Beruach kocham. I see.
Yeah, like when it says. It says Vayishkav Reuven et Bilha Pilgesh Aviv. So over there, Rashi says Meforash that it wasn't really the Vayishkav. It was the fact that he moved the bed and Ma'aleh Alav Akatuv. It's not that he actually did it. So when Chazal say it's not literal, then it's not literal. When otherwise, it is. Everything in the Torah is to be taken literally.
Right.
There's a machloket among the poskim with regards to agadatas in Gmarot and Chazal and Midrashim. Whether you should take those things literally or not, there's a Yabitz, there's a Gra, big machlokot, that's a different story altogether. But Torah Shebichtav, I mean, it was meant literally unless Chazal actually come and say, for instance, like when the Torah says, Yad Tachat Yad, Nefesh Tachat Nefesh, all those things, the Torah says doesn't mean necessarily a hand for, right? That's sometimes, that's a goyish thing. Chazal say when it says Yad Tachat Yad, it means Bilam Bilshon Tashlumin. So that is with regards to that. And anytime it encroaches on Chazal, so you're getting into very, very dangerous kfira territory.
Right.
So you have to be very careful of these personalities. Everybody likes to be, you know, they, especially when they make themselves sound very astute and sagacious and stuff like that.
You gotta be,
huh? Educated and relax, take it easy. The Chazal were much more educated than anybody, and don't mess with them. That's
right.
You have the Masoret of Chachamim Zichron Brachah, and without them, a person can mamash be at Stokiu by Tosi. You have to be very careful.
Right.
That's it.
Okay.
Maod. Okay. Let's maybe we'll go around and we'll come back. Matam Omer, we'll give somebody else a chance. Anybody else? Just jump in. Okay, Maod, you're on. Yeah, again.
Well, not really my question.
Okay.
Okay. How would it be suggest how someone our age, I assume he's 21 or 22,
okay.
can overcome a difficult time in their life with Emunah and Hashem?
So, Emunah in general is not necessarily, there are nisyonot in life that are age-related, for instance, especially in teenage and early 20-year-olds and stuff like that, those are usually nisyonot of Shemirat Ha'ainam and Shemirat Ha'brit and Arayot and stuff like that. But Emunah and Bitachon can strike, or lack thereof actually, can strike at any time. And really the way to be mishtalet, and you have questions on Emunah Bitachon at any stage in life. And not only that, the older you get and the more responsibilities you have on yourself, whether that's with a wife and children, family life, financial responsibilities and things like that, parnasa, person can be faced with many, many more challenges in Emunah Bitachon. There's a very interesting shmuz from Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. He says beautifully. He says in a few different shmuzin of his, there's a gemara that says that Amarav Huna Amarav Gadol Hanihinam Yegi Akapav Yoter Miyere Shamayim. Greater is one who enjoys the toil of his hands, he's even greater than a person who fears Hashem, which is interesting. What does that mean? A person who enjoys the toil of his hands, a person who goes to work. So a person who goes to work is greater than Yiras Hashamayim. What does that even mean? It explains Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, a beautiful yisod. He says that in general, if you don't go to work and you're supported by somebody, everybody's got to eat. So if you're being supported by somebody else, whether it's tzedakah lo aleinu, or if a person's an avreich and somebody else is supporting, but you don't really work, So it's hard to see the nisim and niflaot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cloaks in the Bria. Whereas if a person goes to work, you ask any working person in any line of business, sometimes a person thinks he puts a lot of time and effort, energy, money, invests a lot into a certain project or a certain thing that he wants to get off the ground. And he thinks, wow, this is it. I invested so much, and this is going to be, you know, this is going to be the jackpot. This is going to be the answer for all of my parnasa issues. And then all of a sudden, the whole thing falls apart. Kilo haya. And then, you know, mamash, he sees that the Yad Hashem comes and sustains him and gives him parnasa from a totally, totally different thing. And which means that we see how really insignificant and ineffective we are in everything that we do without Siyata Dishmaya. You only see that if you go to work. Only when you actually go to work do you see that the things that you invest in actually many times fall apart, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends you something from a totally different side. I saw, you know, many, you know, kids' parsha papers, they come home with parsha, and sometimes they have like cartoons or memes on them. So my daughter came home with an interesting parsha paper the other week, and it was a very, it was a cartoon that meant a lot. It was childish, but it actually had a very deep meaning in it. Showed a person, a frum-looking guy, going fishing. And he was sitting in a boat, and you see him fishing. He's at the front of the boat, and he's sitting with his fishing rod in the water. And over there it shows, it's the caption by the front of the boat where the guy sitting with his fishing rod is, Hishtadlut. Then behind him in the boat, there's a bucket. And you see a fish jumping out of the water and jumping into the bucket, and he doesn't even see it. And behind him there's a caption, Bitachon. That, you understand, many times we go fishing many times throughout life and we think that the fish is going to come from the fishing, but we're going to eat. Na'araiti gam zakanti v'lo raiti tzadik ne'ezav ezar ome vakesh lachem. Everybody eventually makes their parnasa and Baruch Hashem we're taken care of. Echad amarbe ve'echad amamait. Not everybody on the same level, but Baruch Hashem, we don't know many people going hungry. Baruch Hashem, we're taken care of, we're provided for. Kadosh Baruch Hu is zanum farnes mikarnir ha'emim v'ad betzekinim. Kadosh Baruch Hu takes care of everybody. But sometimes we have to realize that it's not, if a person, you know, we're hyper-focused, work is a very tricky thing. Because sometimes in life, we feel, kochi ve'otzem yadi, I bought, I sold, I, you know, I got the degree, I did this, I did that. It's not, these are just a means to an end. That's the curse of hishtadlut that we have to go through. That's what makes us go through that. So to answer your question a little bit more specifically, in order to overcome issues of bitachon, first of all, a person has to take a step back and realize his own inability to make the world go round. You know, I like to give him a mashal also. I haven't seen it in a while, but sometimes when you go to malls, you know that they have these little strollers that you can rent for kids, like it's like a race car or one of those things. You know what I'm talking about? So over there, you put a kid in there, they're ecstatic, they love it. Why? The kid's sitting in the front, and he's turning the steering wheel, and he's beeping, and whatever. He feels like he's fully in control. If he just turned around for a second, he'd realize that it's his parent behind him who's pushing it's just the stroller. So sometimes that happens to the best of us as we grow older. There's like this facade in life that we're buying and selling and driving and, you know, in control. You have your hand on the wheel with the wind going through your hair as if you're doing something, but that's not really the case. First, take a step back and to realize that we're insignificant. In Od Mi Levado, without a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we'd be failures at everything we touched. It's only Bizchuto Yitbarach that we have everything that we have. And also to be mitchazek in all many, many different sfarim out there. Very, very, you know, on point, whether it's, everybody has their own personal liking to, whether it's Shara Bitachon and Chovot HaLevavot, or sometimes it's Emunah Bitachon LaChazon Ish, or Ma'amar Bitachon LaBet HaLevi, many different Ma'amarim Bitachon that really boost a person's Emunah to realize that Kadosh Baruch Hu has never let us down, and he never will. And that's the way to be mitchazek. What do you want to ask?
So I don't know if it's been asked before, but I think it's important to ask.
Okay.
What should be our game plan for Ben Zman?
That's pretty nice pivot.
I know it depends on each person, how they have their own thing, but I'm saying that they're cloud.
You should certainly have a game plan, just like you have a game plan for anything else in life. And Ben Azmanim is a pretty long time, 2 months. A lot can happen in 2 months. you know, in Eretz Yisrael, Ben Azmanim is about 3 weeks, from Erev Tisha B'Av until Rosh Chodesh Elul. That's it. That's but you know, in America, for better or for worse, we have 2 months, and there's a lot that can happen in 2 months. And naturally, like the Rambam writes in Chodeot, that a person is heavily influenced by his sviva, by his environment. Hen letov, hen lemutav, for better or for worse. And a person has to make sure, A, that you are in an environment, even if it's not yeshiva per se, that is conducive to continued growth in Torah mitzvot, whether it's a camp or whatever it is. But just, you know, not to be, to be in a bad environment, or even just to be in a parv environment, that's not good. You have to surround yourself with an environment that's going to engender positive growth in Avodat Hashem. And like I spoke about last time, I don't know if you were here, but I did speak about it, that, yeah, people are busy during the summer. They work, they have internships, they have camp, they have all sorts of different things that they do. You have to be makpid at least a portion of the day to keep your sederim, to keep serious sederim, not just, you know, Shnai Mikra V'Echad Targum, you know, Kol HaKorei Kriyat Shema Shacharit V'Arvit, he's Yotze Talmud Torah. No, you have to have at least, I want to say two sederim. Some people can't have two sederim a day, but at least one and a half, possibly, serious Seder per day to keep up the momentum of what you're learning in yeshiva, whether it's finishing Masechet Pesachim or whether it's getting a head start in Kiddushin. So different people have different things. When I was in Ben Azmanim, I never like to get a head start on the next year's Masechet in yeshiva, because I like to come and start fresh. That was my psychology. Different people like to do different things, which is fine, but keep yourself stimulated, keep yourself learning. Tfilot b'tzibur. Even though you're not necessarily in yeshiva setting, you got to make sure not to miss even one minyan, unless it's mimkom onis or whatever it is. But to be makpid. A benter is a benter, whether you're in yeshiva or not. You got to take home the Torah with yourself. It's foolish to leave the Sefer Torah and the Arun Kodesh in yeshiva. You know, you check out, you say, you bid farewell to the Torah, I'll see you in 2 months. I'll be back. Chodesh Elul, it's not a kunst to be mitchazek during Chodesh Elul. The whole Am Yisrael is mitchazek during Chodesh Elul. The chidush is to be mitchazek during Chodeshim Tammuz and Av. That's the thing. When you're on vacation, you're a little bit looser. It's very important. In Hebrew, it's called misgirit. To have a... You want to have a system. You want to have a... framework. You want to be in a framework. You don't want to just leave it to chance or to a whim. You got to make sure that you're in this framework. Wherever it is that wherever you go. Yeah. Okay, anybody else? B'chavod.
What are the halachic and hashkafic ramifications, both of you, Poskei Ashkenaz v'Sfarad, regarding using the bathroom while standing as opposed to sitting?
You're talking about gdolim. Ktanim or gdolim?
Both.
Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch, so the Gemara says it's not good to do it when you do for gdolim, because over there it could be, it's not good for tchorim. A person has to push hard and it can cause hemorrhoids and all sorts of other ailments. So a person should always try, obviously, gdolim to do b'yeshiva. Ktanim, the Gemara says it's actually better to do it sitting down, because over there then you won't have nitzotzot. The Shulchan Aruch brings down right in the beginning, Shulchan Aruch, he says that a person, when he uses the restroom standing, which is very common, especially for men, and urinals and stuff like that, you have to make sure to be meshafshif. Shulchan Aruch says that you should wipe your legs, because if you leave droplets on your legs, people might, chas v'shalom, say that might lead people to a conclusion of kruchovcha and stuff like that, and be motzilaz on a person's children. So it's better to sit. But if you're standing, at least to do so in a way that you make sure that nothing drips, and if something does drip, to wipe it off. That's basically the halachot, and there's no difference between Ashkenazim and Sfaradim in this regard. It's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch in Siman Bit. Yeah. Siman Gimel, I'm sorry. Bit Akise. Yeah. Anybody else? Anybody want to jump in here? What else? Yeah. Chavod. Follow up. Yeah, go ahead.
Is it mutar to shower when you're showering, to use the bathroom in the shower as well?
Yeah, it's not a soul.
Even in the Mechavera?
Oh, you're talking about like a public shower?
For example, in my dorm room, like...
Yeah. Is that also, let's say... Yeah. It's separate from the shower. Is it two separate rooms?
Yeah.
For some work to do in the shower, does that make that a shame get to Kisena?
Yes. If it's in the same room, yes.
It's no, it's a separate room, let's say, but like, let's say a person, he does in the shower.
No, it doesn't make it a bet hakiseh. No, bet hakiseh is only for gdolim. Make something bet hakiseh, because that's washed away. The meraglaim is washed away right away. I would say ben adam l'chaveru, it's not whatever. That's the famous, you know, mikveh conundrum. Every time you go to the mikveh, there's people who wear slippers who don't, because anytime you walk into a mikveh shower, you know that there's probably people who did it. So, you know, step there at your own risk. But l'chatchila, whether or not you should, you know, you probably wouldn't. It would probably gross you out. You're not allowed to do things that gross out other people. So if somebody else did it, it would probably gross you out. Even if you're, you know, it's being washed off right away, I would say it's not derech eretz. You know, it's uncouth. It's not refined.
Forget
about bentar, especially. But even if not, it's like, you know, if it's your own personal shower or whatever, okay, so do what you want. But there's other people there, so be sensitive to other people's needs. Yeah, Mishai.
On Monday, Thursday, it's praying Ashkenaz and
Yad. So there's actually a few different shitot what to do. The Ben Ishchai, this is the most accepted opinion in Akut Yosef, and Aruch bring them in as well. We know that a person can't say Yud Gimal Midot by himself unless he says it to Amei Mikra. So even that, the Ben Ishchai says to do that only by the first. Mondays and Thursdays, Sfaradim have multiple Vayavors. So there he says, the first one you should do with Amei Mikra, the rest of them you should do Bilshon Arami, Targum. Yeah? Hashem, Hashem, Elahar Hamana V'Hanana. Marchik Regaz, U'masgim Be'ayvad, Tavan Ukshot. That's the whole Targum over there. That's what you should do. And then try to say it as quickly as possible. Huh? Sidur Od Yosef Chai has it. Okay, so again, technically. No, so technically, Minadin, you are allowed to say all of them. With Ta'ame HaMikra. It's Mutah. It's Kekore Batorah. Ben Ishchai says it's better to do only the first one and the rest Be'aramit, but HaBocher Yivchar. But it's not good to... If you want to skip it and just say Anshe Emunah and Tamanu Meraot and Al Ta'asi Manu Kala, so that's also okay, but it's better not to skip it. Yeah.
You can say that by...
Yeah, if you want. Yeah, sure. Michai should say Be'Ta'ame HaMikra, because over there's only one. Yeah.
What about Bahab? After...
So it's funny because I don't even know at what point in history Sfardim dropped Behab, because the Shulchan Aruch himself in Siman Tav Kuf Chavtet brings down the Minhag of Ta'aniyot Behab. You know that. It started off as being, it's a Tosfot, but it's actually brought by Maran HaShulchan Aruch.
What's Behab?
Behab is, it started off really as fast days that were Nikba to be Mechaper for lightheadedness, for Kalut Rosh that Am Yisrael experienced during the Chagim of Pesach and Sukkot. Shavuot doesn't have one. So they usually do it during Cheshvan and during Iyar after, it's a Monday and a Thursday and a Monday. Now Ashkenazim today, some Yechides Gula actually fast, most don't, and they just say extra Slichot and things like that. Now, you know, Et Chatayani Maskir, every time I was in Yeshiva, I was in the Mir Yeshiva, and they used to do it all the time, and I didn't used to like it, so I just used to do my own thing and learn. In retrospect, you can't do that. That's called Lifrosh Min HaTzibur. You're not supposed to do that. You say, that there's no problem to say Tchinot and Slichot along with the Tzibur, even if there's no Slichot Levatala, there's no such thing. So you say it with the Tzibur. No problem to ask, even if it's not your Minhag, but just to sit down and learn or leave or whatever is really considered Purash Min HaTzibur, so you shouldn't really do that. So that's what they're going. They do it here?
No, I was just asking if that would turn you okay.
Yeah, because
the
you run the risk, if you do it, you run the risk of losing like half the tzibur, like like leaving and make a breakaway minion and stuff like that. So yeah, but my yeshiva growing up did it. I remember that, and it used to be long and it drawn out and whatever. Tefillah is one of the most important things to get from your yeshiva experience. Tefillah in yeshiva en kedugmata. There is no substitute to tefillah in yeshiva. Remember what I tell you. Because that's something that doesn't come back. Because the amount of kavanah, and even, you know, the reading the word slowly and davening like a mensch and without talking and stuff like that, these are things that you can only get in yeshiva. So you should take that and cherish it for life. As much as I, you know, in yeshiva, always davening goes a little bit slower than random shuls. But still, it's worth it. Because of the kavanah, the growth that a person experiences through tefillot and yeshiva is unparalleled almost in any other tefillah that you can get anywhere else. So that's with regards to that. Yeah, Daniel.
What's the deal with, you see it, I see it often, I guess, when there's 10 people in a room, mm-hmm. somebody's like, whatever, he's doing Shmoneh Esrei, and he does the Kedusha Like, he gets everybody involved?
Meaning he's running late. The minyan's over and he wants to...
He has his limit.
Yeah, so the poskim are very... That's a pseudo poris al shema, which is a sugya unto itself. Many poskim don't like it. And it's on, you know... I highly do not recommend it. And if you come late, either find another minyan or eat the tefillah biyachid. You know, that's... Because there's many things...
Why do people do it then? What's...
Because they're misinformed about how to pull it off. Yeah, it's not...
There's a proper way to do it.
Did you ever see a Talmid Chacham doing it?
They make the minyan.
Yeah. No, I'm saying... No, but even for Talmid Chachamim that did make the minyan, let's say a person, whatever, missed the minyan or was anus, whatever... It's not pashut. The person should not do that.
So if there's still 10 people davening, then it's okay? It's okay.
Yes, yes. Oh, we were talking about besof
ha-tefillah. Besof ha-tefillah, yeah. Right.
Yeah. So what's the problem with doing?
Whether or not pores al shema, which is the sugyan masechet Megillah, and the Shulchan brings it down in Chot Kriyat Shema, whether or not you can do that after the tzibur is finished davening, because pores al shema, the Gemara says it is after they davened amida, and they only got a minyan afterwards. Over here, the minyan was always there. This guy happened to have missed the minyan, so the question is whether or not to be medame what this guy is doing to what Chazal were mitaken for pores al shema when they joined together as a minyan after tefillat lachash. That's a different story altogether. Okay. Yeah. Anything else, Rabbi Yisai? Anything else? This is it. Ben Azmanim questions. Yeah, b'chavod, Yaakov.
Well, I know Sardim are very into it. Saying Baruch Hu after davening, after
shabbos. Yeah. Yeah.
No, but I'm saying first.
Well, it's not only Sfarad, it's Nusach Sfarad also. Nusach Sfarad also does it. Yeah.
In Eretz Yisrael, they
do it. I mean, well, that's a separate thing because apparently the Sfarad in there actually got the offense of the people.
Yeah, it's more of a Nusach Sfarad thing. Okay, go ahead. So whether or not.
So if you're in the Ashkenazi minyan, let's say, there's. What if you miss Baruch Hu? And also, would it be any different if you came and they're up to Shemot Esrei and you say Baruch Hu, so that you could say Berachos Kriyat Shema and...
So afterwards, if let's say you did Shemot Esrei first, yeah.
Shemot Esrei first.
It really depends on the policy of the yeshiva. The truth is, for those who missed Baruch Hu, even by Minyanim the Davin Nusach Ashkenaz, sometimes you'll have some random guy at the end, after Alenu, saying Baruch Hu Hashem Baruch, just because he missed it. So it's not really a Sephardi thing. I would say on a constant basis, Sfaradim should not be throwing in their own Baruch Hus at the end just to do Kiminhagam when the Minhag of the yeshiva is not that way. I would say that's rocking the boat and it's not, it's not Mat'im to the Nosach of the yeshiva. As opposed to if a person, you have to ask the yeshiva or Menahal or ask, you know, what's the, if a person, do you mind if I miss, or if Bachar miss Baruch Hu, do you mind if we throw it in at the end? They don't have a problem, so do it. Otherwise, if it's just Beshita to do like your Nosach, then I wouldn't do it.
He doesn't like it.
Okay, so don't do it.
I always have this dilemma. If you miss, let's say, if you miss Baruch Hu, and even if you want to say Baruch Hu, so that you say your Kriyshma after, you said the necessary first.
Yeah.
But then, you're in a minyan that where the people don't like it if you say Baruch Hu.
So don't do it. So the last thing you want to do is to create machloket or ill feelings. There's a famous Or Letzion that speaks about it. There's many different nuschaot between Sfaradim and Ashkenazim, as we've spoken about many times. And one of the primary ones to come up is if a Sfaradi needs to say Kaddish in a minyan of Nosach Ashkenaz. So over there, you know, they go straight, Ashkenazim go straight to Bechayichon. Sfaradim say, V'yatzmach Purkanim Kerem Meshichi. So, Dari HaKadosh, if you look in Shara Kavanot, he says, V'yatzmach Purkanim Kerem Meshichi is an integral part of Kaddish, and it's not supposed to be skipped under any circumstances. But sometimes if you do an Ashkenaz minyan, sometimes it ticks them off. I've seen it. Especially if you're doing it, if they're saying Kaddish, and now they have to wait for you to say V'yatzmach Purkanim Kerem Meshichi, and it's like you're doing it in a way that's making Afghana, they don't like it. Afghana people, yes? You never been to one in Bar Ilan? Yeah? You know, like burning dump in the dumpsters and...
Pick up the red lights.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah.
Bar Ilan.
Shabbat?
Bunch of kids and all.
Mazi, Shabbat. Anyway, Shemi Rachim, Bar Minan. Anyway, but at the end of the day, it should be done in a nice way, whatever. And if Chametz Tzion actually says that if the tzibur is getting ticked off by it, or the Rav or the Gabbai say, we don't do that here, and stop that, so you don't do it because there's nothing that is worse than machloket. As important as noschaot tefillah are, You don't want to rock the boat of the minyan, and you don't want to make afganot. You know what I'm saying?
Aren't you supposed to change the kaddish if you're in the like Sfaris and Ashkenaz place or whatever?
So that's for the end. In, when we say Ali, Yeshan Amar Abba Mishmaya. So, Chaim v'Savav Yeshua, that's not as important. You can just say V'Chaim Tovim Aleinu, or Ashkenazim say V'Chaim Aleinu, Sfarad says V'Chaim Tovim Aleinu. Just say it like that. But V'Yatzmach Purkan V'Kan Meshichei, Chaim Tzion says you should try to say that. Unless they get on your case. That's a thing. Or you can say it just real quick, you know, as they're saying, And I also, like my father, and I got it from him, if I need to say Kaddish with an Ashkenaz minion, so I try also, I don't say it like an Ashkenaz, but I say it in their tune. Meaning you're showing that what? You're trying to blend in a little bit. You're just like, you know, do it quick so that nobody notices and you don't have to rock. You don't have to, you know, sometimes at Kesetar, I see this all the time, and people like just don't get it. They're, you know, sometimes they're the Ashkenaz are saying Kaddish and the Chazan or whoever it is. Kaddish, Mirabam, Kaddan, Kaddan, Mirabam. Oh, take it easy. You know what I'm saying? Like, what do you have to do King Kong in the middle of just, you know, you have what I'm saying? Just try to blend in. You don't need to make yourself. You know what I'm saying?
There were about like five people that were like saying Kaddish, and two of them were just not.
Not just telling two. It's not a comfortable feeling, and you see the Ashkenazim making faces at the Sephardim, and the Sephardim just not getting it, and just like.
Miss out the Omen.
Huh?
Also miss out the Omen.
Yeah, it's
the whole thing. What's the whole point?
The most important. There's a Baraita in Masechet Derech Eretz Zota. The Baraita says. לעולם לא יהיה אדם עומד בין היושבים ויושב בין העומדים. Just try to merge, yield. You know, like, imagine you're driving and you're trying to go onto a highway. There's laws about how you yield. Imagine you're coming off, boom, and you're just like, whoa, like cut off oncoming traffic. Whoa, take it easy. Go from one lane to, just like, try to be with them. That's why, at least you throw the Ashkenazim a bone when you say it in their tune, whatever they feel. Oh, you see, he's trying. He's trying to shtaltzu. You know what I'm saying? Many times in Keser Torah, the Rav of Keser Torah, Adam Shalom, Rabbi Rosenblatt. So I used to come, and he used to ask me to go up for Chazan. And I didn't like to, because, you know, I'm Sfaradi, and it means changing the Nosach, and I daven in a certain Havara. So I said, no, I'm good. He says, no, please go up. And the Rav's asking, Der Cheretz, I would say, but I daven like a Sfar. He says, no, it's okay, do your own thing. And he was Mechabedoti, because, you know, even when like I said Kaddish like that, and the Ashkenazim appreciate it because they know you're Sephardi and they know that the Rav asked you whatever, but you're still trying to make an effort to, you know, excuse the Persian to be part of the matzav. So they appreciate that. It goes a long way. The Ikar is to lif'ol b'chokhmah. Rabotai, Laila Tov. It's been a pleasure. See you tomorrow. B'zat Hashem.